debt.
Joe, you're the only, I shouldn't say the only person. I have a lot of nerd friends. You're the best person to ask this question.
Okay.
To give you a little insight into my brain works, I had to run to Target to pick up some things right before we recorded. And I got home,
okay.
Coming inside, and there was a robin. You know, our sump pump, I've explained a lot about it, drains down the driveway, creates a little puddle. There was a robin bathing in the puddle.
Yeah.
And it made me think of a question. Why is Robin named Robin? Not the bird, the Batman sidekick.
That is a really good question.
Flying
animal? Honestly, a flying animal, I bet, is the only reason that he's named that.
Like, it's not, you know, Batman.
Oh, okay. So the name is inspired by Robin Hood. Like, the look of his costume.
Okay.
Was inspired by Robin Hood.
The
so
other,
that's why
and
it's
the
Robin.
Subsequent ones, aren't they like the Red Hood and things like that? Like, they play a little into that theme.
Yeah, like, yeah. So, well, I don't know if they all play a little into it, but like, Red Hood has a callback to a Joker situation because the Joker wore a Red Hood when he became the Joker. And then Nightwing, his name came from Superman. Actually, Superman sat Dick Grayson down and said, "Hey, you know, you're growing up, you need to be responsible. On my planet, there's a hero named Nightwing." And Dick Grayson was like, "Oh, hey, that's a cool idea. I'm gonna go with Nightwing and wear a mullet."
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And then Robin was just, I don't know, just Robin. It is weird. It is a weird thing that Batman,
like, you just
picked Robin.
I looked at this bird and I was like, you know, this doesn't seem like a superhero kind of named animal.
Right.
But it is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. Batman characters now don't make any sense. There's so many people in the Bat family. There's like someone named Spoiler. There's Bat Signal.
They put out that game. It might be last year now. Arkham Knights, right? That had like all of the sidekicks from Batman
in
it.
Yeah.
And I recognized Robin, and that's it. And I was like, who are these people?
So many Batman side characters now. There's like, it's insane to me. We've gone on a tangent now about Batman. Thank you.
You're welcome. I knew what I was starting when I got into this. I was aware.
The umbrella of Batman in the DC world is ginormous, right? Like, every superhero has not just one comic come out at one time.
Yeah.
Like, there's Batman, then there's like Detective Comics, then there's Batman and so and so, and there's like five coming out at one time. Like, with Batman characters, there's 50 probably a month based on how many individual characters they are. It's insane. And then, like, there's also international Batman.
Oh,
and they have a comic called Batman Inc., or at least they used to. Just absurd, the amount and the names.
Comic books were the original, like, content grift, where, like, you just took a character and wrote whatever you wanted about them, and they're like, yeah, okay,
yeah.
Sell it, make some money off of it, sell it.
Make some, yeah, and then it's so funny to think of, like, the characters that go together, like, Joker and Bat, like, there's villains and heroes that are, like, have a common thread between them.
Yeah.
Right, like Doc Ock and Spider-Man.
Yep.
They both have eight legs. Batman and Joker have like this no thread, and then like a bat and a Robin, again, no thread. But hey, he looks cool, I guess. So let's name him after Robin Hood.
Yeah, it might be the laziest answer that we could have come up with this. Like,
I know.
I think winged creature might have been a better explanation than saying Robin Hood also kind of fought crime, kind of.
Right. He wore small shorts. My other thought would be like, because he's red.
Yeah, and that's, then you get into a chicken and a Robin and an egg kind of thing. because Batman made the suit to look like a bat because he was afraid of bats, right?
Correct.
Also kind of a silly backstory, but we won't get into the silliness of superhero backstories here right now.
Yeah.
So, like, did Robin make his red costume because he wanted to look like Robin Hood? Or did he make the costume and like, you kind of look like Robin Hood, call you Robin?
Right. So, in the comics, I mean, that's basically Dick Grayson's circus costume, his trapeze costume that him and his family wore, the Flying Graysons, was a costume that basically was that. And then they like he altered it a little bit. And he's like, oh, this is my superhero costume. I was like, dude, I just saw you on a poster. You were in a tent 20 minutes ago. I just saw you.
The same thing as like when Clark Kent puts on his glasses. Well, you don't recognize a man once he takes off his glasses? No. Not in the DC universe. Although in the Marvel universe, all you have to do is put on a non-labeled baseball hat and people don't recognize you. So
that's it.
Put on a baseball hat, make sure it doesn't have a label on it. Nobody will recognize you.
Yep. Make out with Scarlett Johansson. They'll never know.
That's it. Ridiculous. Comic books are great and ridiculous.
100%. Welcome to Big Dad Energy, the journey of parenting and adulting through the eyes of two young dads. I'm your co-host, Joe Lopez, and with me, as always, is my co-dad, Jared Shedmansky. Jared, how the heck are you?
Joseph, I'm good. We're recording a couple days. We're back on our original, the OG recording day. I guess not all the way back, because we used to do, Tuesday, Thursday was our way back when.
Yeah, way back when we tried to do two episodes a week. Now, we're lucky if we do two episodes a month.
That's a great point. I'm good. It's Wednesday, my dudes. We had soccer practice tonight. It was beautiful outside. Ben ran away. It was, that's how this, there's a big hill.
You want to elaborate on that?
I guess so. There's this big hill at the park where they play soccer. And something about kids in large hills, they got to run to the top of it. They have to. They have to conquer that mountain. And he did this after his game on Saturday. And he saw one of the older brothers of a kid on his team who wasn't practicing with us run up there. And so in the middle of practice, he just took off, ran up the hill, and I had to run after him. And it was, I don't want to run up big hills, Joe. That's not fun at all for an adult. So it was, it was fine. It was fine in the end.
Yeah, you should take that kid to Sleeping Bear Dunes. Let him see those hills.
Oh, we went there. Went there a couple months ago.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I was looking for Worm Sign.
Did he run up the hill?
He did. He did. He was very excited. Actually, so much so that I don't know if you've been like around the other trails, not just the main. Sleeping Bear Dunes can be a tourist trap, and I'm the local Northern Michigander is going to warn you here. There is the big like go up the hill or up the sand dune, down the other side of the sand dune. There's that side, but there's a bunch of hiking trails that go along the sand dunes that are like mini mountains, right? And we took one of the like offshoot trails and walked around, but sand dunes, much like mini mountains, have cliff faces, right?
Yeah.
And so Ben was just wandering by himself, and luckily I'm smart enough to not let him wander that far by himself, but he like ran up to like walk along one of the peaks, not realizing that like the other side is just like sheer drop into
flat
woods.
Yeah,
you know, like so it was he's a danger kid. I'll give him that. He's a danger kid.
Yeah, let me tell you, we went to the dunes a few years ago. We were up for a wedding. I can't remember where. I don't know if it was actually the Sleeping Bear Dunes, but it was dunes regardless.
Yeah.
My least favorite thing to do is walk around on hot sand for hours.
So it was the middle of March when we went. It was Katie's spring break.
Oh, that's
there
nice.
Was still snow on the dunes. And Katie and I are talking to each other like, it was empty. There was nobody there. It was really cold. Don't get me wrong. Like, it was, because it's windy up there.
Yeah.
But we were talking, we were like, I'd much rather do this in March than trying to do it in 90 degree weather with hot sand and a million people because it's summertime in Northern Michigan. Like, no way. No, thank you. I'll take cold views any day over hot.
Yeah. Oh, it was the Sleeping Bear Dunes. But yeah, we pulled up to like the parking lot where you park,
mm-hmm.
and then you just see a ruckus in front of you.
Yes.
Like
nothing but sand.
Just, and then it's just, there's flat parts and then there's up parts, and then you get up to the up part and you're like, oh, the water's got to be right there.
It's
and
not.
It's not. You have to journey.
Fun thing about growing up on the west side of Michigan, where there are a ton of dunes, is during earth science, we got to go on a field trip and just drive along Lake Michigan up to like from Kalamazoo to Ludington, which is like 2 hours. And just drive along and see sand dunes and climb sand dunes and things like that for a school field trip. It was a blast.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome.
So anyway, after our sand dune diversion here, everything's been good.
Good.
Yeah. Dog's settling in nice. He sleeps.
Yeah.
He sleeps directly behind my chair in my office. Two things about this. So both old dogs that we had before this wouldn't come to the basement because I don't know if you know this. Our stairs aren't carpeted. They're just like laminate stairs. And dogs hate laminate stairs.
Huh.
I would venture to say most dogs hate laminate stairs because they can't grip to climb. Like, they know how to climb by like gripping and they can't do that on laminate. But Gilbert wants to be around you at all times, which is fine. I have never had a problem with a dog like that. But what he'll do is he'll come downstairs and then he'll put his butt right against the wheel of my chair at my desk.
Oh.
So I cannot move. I am just locked into place. because he's a 90-pound dog that just locks his butt against the back wheel of my chair. So I'm locked in. And then here's the other part about him being a 90-pound dog. He has a bad leg. He limps all over the place. We're going back to get surgery on it next week. Just has a bad leg.
Yeah.
And he hates the stairs. And so the first couple of times that he did this, he would slowly make his way back up the stairs by himself. And now he just doesn't. Now he just waits for me, and I have to carry him up the stairs. So now I just carry a 90-pound dog up the stairs like three times a day.
You're getting that workout, though.
I am getting a workout. The thighs and the glutes are going to be...
Yeah. you have that firm tush.
Absolutely. I just have to carry a 90-pound dog upstairs like three times a day to make sure he goes. And every time I'm like, okay. So general like morning routine for me, I get my coffee, come downstairs, start work. He locks me into my chair. If I have to go to the bathroom, I just leave him down here. I'm like, I'm not carrying you upstairs for me to go to the bathroom, come back downstairs. Then about like 11:30 or noon, depending on when my meeting schedule allows, I go up to make lunch. I will carry him upstairs, put him outside, make my lunch, let him inside, bring him upstairs, up the like last two stairs from our back door, and try and get him to stay upstairs. But I have food in my hands. So the minute I walk downstairs, follows me right back down. and then at like 2 o'clock, I got to pick him back up. Take him back upstairs so we can go to the bathroom. And then a couple of times I've locked him upstairs, and then he'll whine because he's not downstairs. So now I've just resigned to, now I'm just going to have to carry him upstairs every time that he wants to go upstairs. This is my life now.
Yeah, you got a good couple of years. Man, it's going to be one firmed butt.
Yeah. You know what? I complained because one time, we were camping in the UP and we brought Lou. This was before we had kids. And we went to Tequamanon Falls. And Tequamanon Falls has like metal grated stairs that you walk down to get to like the viewing platform of the falls.
Yes.
And Lou got down the stairs okay. And then wouldn't go back up the stairs. not because she couldn't.
Oh, no.
But because she was scared of the greats. And so
right.
I counted. It was 76 steps. So I carried our 65-pound yellow lab up 76 metal stairs to get back to the car because she just would not walk on the metal stairs.
Yeah. Jeez Louise.
Carrying old dogs. That's my calling card.
That's it. That's it. We're going to get a sticker that just says that. Carrying old dogs.
It's, you know what? We might as well. How's your week going?
It's going, man. Last Saturday, we went to a white trash party. Kayla and I did, and the kids. We looked great. Kayla won a costume contest, so that was cool. Sunday, we played a rousing game of Dungeons & Dragons at 10:30 a.m.
It was great. I would have played earlier. IRP with a cup of coffee.
Yeah, that'd be great. That was fun. It was a fun session that we did. and then this week's been pretty good. A lot of my company is down at a like a leadership summit. So my week has been pretty chill.
I love that. I love when the bosses leave.
Yeah. Yeah. So we I just had a really chill week. Monday, Kayla and I went and got some new plants for Mother's Day. So we got some new perennials to put into our garden, and then we got a strawberry plant and a blueberry plant.
Ooh.
And see how those will turn out.
Blueberry bush.
Blueberry bush, yeah. Yeah.
Hold on, did you say strawberry or raspberry? I missed that first one.
Strawberry.
Okay. We have a raspberry plant that Katie planted, and one, it likes to vine, so it like is climbing the fence. And it won't die. It's been there 3 years, comes back every year, will not die. We've gotten like maybe five raspberries off this thing. It just won't die. It's just,
that's funny.
The other thing, I could keep complaining about this damn raspberry bush. It has thorns too, and I have to mow around it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hate the damn thing, and it will not die. anyway, so strawberry, blueberry bush.
Yeah, and then just some other plants. So we did that. Then just kind of chilled all week or the rest of this week. Gonna be doing like I've been doing some work here and there like throughout the day, some keep me updated and keep me my work going. And then today Cora was at school and she's starting to learn letters and letter sounds.
Nice.
So she was it earlier this week? It must have been earlier this week. They must be testing the kids pretty constantly on them because she came home and said her teacher has a pink wand that and she wants. She said, "I want it so bad." She said, "There's a pink wand and I need it." And I was like, "Okay." She's like, "I need to learn my letters." So on Monday she was missing D and G. She knew all the other letters and the sounds, except for D and G, which she does know, but she was getting the lowercase ones confused, and like in a test setting, she was getting them confused. And then on Tuesday, she knew D and G, but then couldn't get W.
It's tough.
So, yeah, so today I picked her up from school, and she came out carrying this wand, and she was... one of two kids, she was the first in her class to get all the letters, uppercase, lowercase, and the sounds that they make.
That's really good.
So, yeah, so I think they do that just by like pointing to a letter and say, "Hey, what's this letter? What's the sound that it makes?" So she got through all 26. This girl got her pink wand, and she was very excited about it.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So doing that, we're getting more outside time.
Yeah, the weather turned finally.
The weather, so great. Which means like our lawn, we mowed. It seems like twice in the last week.
Yeah,
it's just growing.
I'm on a weekly schedule now. I mowed it 2 weeks ago. I mowed it last weekend on Saturday. And then it's already ready. Like I could mow it tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's just that time of year.
Yeah. And I have so many dandelions in my yard.
I do too this year. I didn't put out weed killer fertilizer mix this year though. So that's probably part of the reason.
Me neither. And I think I might have to turn to chemicals again and just get some of that. Yeah, dandelion killer, some of that weed and feed, and just spray it out because there are so many in my yard.
I know it.
It's pretty disgusting. Yeah, kind of what we're up to. Just chilling, just living.
Let me ask you a philosophical question.
Oh, boy.
Our second kids, are starting to get to the age that the first kids were when we had our when we started to get pregnant with the second kids, right? Which is to say, they're chiller. Not chill. Will is not nearly as chill as Ben. especially when Ben was an only child. But they're starting to get to that age. I noticed this because, like I mentioned, tonight I had to run to Target because Katie needs some things for school. And I was like, well, I have to record tonight, but if you want to do bedtime by yourself, I can just go now. And she's like, yeah, I'd rather have it all like done and taken care of.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not going to speak for her. I don't want to say it's getting easier, but it's getting more and more simple to do like bedtime because you can explain like, we'll go night-night in a second for you, you first. You know, like, they're starting to get to that age where they're a little bit better about this kind of stuff, and they're starting... Does it feel calmer? Does life feel calmer? Like, when I think back to one kid at this time, I would say life was calm. You know, it wasn't...
Yeah.
It wasn't crazy, but, like, I got to be able to go back to playing video games on a regular basis. I got to go back to, like, going out every now and again and leaving the house and like it was starting to get to a more steady pace.
Yeah.
Does it feel like we're at that point now?
It's tough because my kids are so different than yours.
Sure.
Let me rephrase that.
Do you feel like life is calming down? And then I'll answer from my standpoint.
Yeah. A little bit in the fact that they aren't up till 10:30 every night now.
Nice.
They are still a couple nights. Like last night, Cora was up till like 10:30. But Grayson will fight you to go to bed. Like we say, hey, it's bedtime, and he gets very upset and starts to cry. But if I lay him in his bed, give him his bottle, and then lie to him and say I'm coming back, and then I leave the room and don't come back, he'll fall asleep.
then you're already better than we are. I have to lay... Ben falls right asleep once it's ready, but I have to lay in bed with him. Katie and I were just joking. If you stand up before he's really asleep, he'll go, where are you going? Nowhere, but
Cora
I'm
does
laying
the same
back
thing.
Down.
Yep, Cora does the same thing. And for us, it depends on if she's napped. So if she naps, then she's, you know, it can be a pain in the butt. But she's definitely, I mean, she'll go lay down in bed and fight and whine and toss and turn and, oh, I need to go get water. I need to go to the bathroom or whatever.
Yeah.
But we're getting there where she will be a little bit better going to bed. But we still need to lay with her every night until she falls asleep. But we have a sticker chart in her room, and one of the lines is staying in bed. So if she stays in her bed all night, she gets a sticker.
Nice.
She still wakes up almost every night and will come in our room.
You're talking to a man that bounces from his bed to his 3-year-old bed like at 4 o'clock in the morning. Because every morning at 4 o'clock, Ben calls daddy and I have to go sleep in his bed for the last 2 hours of the night.
Right. So to circle back, yes, it feels a little calmer in some aspects, but I think it feels that way because I've trained myself to be like, okay, in 30 minutes, we're going to bed. 25 minutes, we're going to bed. Like, I constantly tell them so that way it doesn't come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
They still aren't happy about it, but it's going a little bit more smoother than it has been before.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B for me. I am definitely more conditioned to having two kids. So when I think about the fact, like bedtime and just general outings when we go out, I take Will because he's on my side of the car. Katie takes Ben because he's on her side of the car. You know, like
yeah.
the normal everyday existing with two children, I feel like I don't want to say I've gotten a handle on it because if I say that out loud, something's going to change and it's all going to be the worst. But I feel like the routine of it has become routine, if that makes sense. On the flip side, there's still a lot of things. Like, I still play referee all the time. Ben wants to build.
Yeah.
He just recently realized that he has Magnetiles, and he has little Magnetile cars, like, that are flat, that are meant to
right.
be, like, you can build trains out of this. You can build, you know, like, and put your Magnetiles on it. He realized he can build a tower and then stand on the couch and continue to build that tower higher and higher and higher, which is really great. Awesome for a four-year-old to do. Neat. Will walks over and just pushes with one of his fingers and knocks the whole thing down.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's nothing I can do. I can't, like, I can't sit here and hold Will back while Ben plays with, but I also don't want to sit here and tell Ben he can't build tall towers because, like, that takes away creativity and it takes away his imagination and
yeah.
like I'm not gonna so from that aspect so like just like you're talking about like bedtime that kind of routine stuff I feel like definitely has gotten more routine more and then the things that aren't chill are still the just figuring out two children doing children things
yeah.
at the same time right like
yeah
and sometimes it's really great like they're outside digging in the mud getting disgusting no big deal you know, playing with all their toys, and then they want to sit in their toy truck at the same time when it only has one seat, and they can't figure out who's gonna
right.
You know, it's things like that. It's like on one hand it is, and on the other hand it's still like not.
Yeah, and I think that they're gonna be like that for years. I mean, that's what our
maybe
kids are
forever,
doing too.
Right? Like back to like my siblings and I, like in high school, we'd complain about who's using the bathroom the longer. You know, things like that, right?
Yeah.
So. I am sure that that's one of those things that doesn't go away. But at least the routine stuff feels a lot more routine than it did before.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, there's things that every toy, right? One of them plays with one toy and as soon as one touches that toy, oh, I was going to play with that.
I want that. I want that toy.
Yep.
Dad, yeah. Baby takes this. Dad. So. All the time. Forever.
Yeah, but it feels calmer. And I think it's also we're hardened.
And
you know, we're 4 years into this thing.
That might honestly be it. It might be. I talked about this in therapy a while ago, but I was talking about how, like, I've had to come to grips that I can't do the things I used to. And people say that about, like, physical stuff. I don't. I mean, like, I can't sit down and play video games for 6 hours. I just can't.
Yeah.
It's impossible, right? There are things that come up that, not to drag other people into this, but like Kevin can play video games on a Saturday afternoon with other people,
yeah.
You know, I used to like try and figure out a way. Okay. If you watch kids, well, Katie spends all the time angry that I'm downstairs playing video games while she's taking care of the kids. And like, then nobody's happy at the end. Right. It's like not even worth putting in the effort. And as I think about it, I think that's just part of this part of becoming this part of parenting, right? This part of
yeah.
the next step of this is like, here's another great example. Coming downstairs is pretty stressful now because Will is still not sleeping through the night. It's still pretty hard to like, if he cries and Katie doesn't want to just like put him back on the boob because he just fell asleep 45 minutes ago. Now he's awake again. It's like, I need to be upstairs so I can pick him up and rock him back to sleep and do all the things that like to help. And if I'm downstairs, if I won't hear him and then Katie has to wake up and then text me and then I go upstairs and then it's been 5 minutes and he's awake and he's not like, it's all of those little things that like now it's just much easier if I watch something on TV or read a book on the couch or like do something
yeah.
where I'm still in earshot of the kids so I can help when I need to. And it turns out that's mm-hmm. less stressful than doing like trying to disconnect and reconnect and disconnect and reconnect, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, I've just kind of come to grips that like my hobbies are just going to have to change a little bit. you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I think as they grow older in the next couple of years, right, at least bedtime should become smoother because they're
bedtime,
having
overnight
school days.
Yeah.
And then so, like, evenings will probably come back a little bit to be, like, your time. But the weekends, I think at this point, like, out the door unless something's pre-planned. Like,
honestly, I was thinking about this on Monday. My Mondays are way more relaxed than my weekends are. Nobody at work schedules meetings on Monday mornings for the most part.
Oh, that's nice.
And like 3 hours of quiet and just like normal work time, way easier than what happens on the weekend when we got a soccer game and then we got to go to the grocery store and then we got to go to a different grocery store.
Yeah.
And then we got to mow the lawn and then we got to make dinner and then we got to go to bed and then we got to wake up the next day and do it all over again. You know, like it's not even making plans that make things go, go, go. It's just how it is. It's just how life is now.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's, we'll get there. We'll settle down, maybe.
And honestly, if it doesn't, I think the ultimate point of this talk about, like, the philosophical part of this is, has things evened out? I don't know if things will ever, or let me rephrase that. They're never going to go back to how calm they were before. That's just impossible.
No.
At least not for like 25 years. that's just, so it's just impossible to look back and be like, oh, it'll go back to what it used to be. And I think I kind of turned a corner where I was like, I'm not looking for things to go back to where they used to be anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a long time when Ben was young and then when Ben was young, I was looking at how free my time was before that, right? Before Ben
right.
was born. And I was like, man, imagine all the time I used to have. And then Will was born, I had even less time. Like, just imagine all the time I had when I had Ben, you know? And
yeah.
I kind of made that paradigm shift. I'm going to use that phrase again because I forgot the word paradigm the last time we had this conversation. that paradigm shift of, like, things are just different now. They're just different.
Yep.
Fit in what you want when you want it. Like, something as silly as, like, I don't get upset if I miss video games like I used to, right? Like, I used to want to play, like,
yeah.
every new game that came out, every big-name game, so I could stay in the loop and understand what everybody was talking about, right? But I can't play 80-hour games anymore. I just can't. There's no attention span. There's no time. There's no, you know, and so I just don't worry about it. It's just different.
Yep, it is. It's a weird life, but it's fun. It's just different. Just different. Well, maybe one day you'll get back to it. Maybe when Bethesda releases the new Elder Scrolls game.
The kids will be in college basically by then, so like...
Yeah.
It'll be great.
It'll be good.
All right, Joe, let's talk about throwing up.
Let's talk about it. So, trigger warning, we're going to talk about throwing up. So if you don't like vomit, or you know, you don't like to hear about it, you can skip this.
I had a whole conversation in my head after you said that of, I was going to say, wait, who likes vomit? And then I remembered, hey, we don't yuck yums on this podcast. And then I just
that's right.
skipped both those sentences and moved right forward.
Exactly. So from here on out, we're talking about kids throwing up. Throwing up. We're going to talk about what Cora calls the big pukies.
Hell yeah.
And that's because Cora had the big pukies, not this past weekend, but the weekend before that. And boy, did it suck. It sucked bad. And when I told you this, you said that it was interesting because Katie had talked to you that your kids never really have had major, like, bomb.
No, when our kids get sick, it's pretty much the same symptoms no matter the sickness. It's...
Yeah.
I will say Ben has gotten out of diapers. Ben has gotten the runs and has had a couple accidents because of it. That would be as close as we get, right? But
yeah,
they get about the same symptoms. They get a little fever. They fall asleep and sleep a lot. and they get super runny noses. They get that from me, but they get super runny noses and stuffy noses. The snoring in this house when there's a bug going around, insufferable, Joe. You can hear it across the house. But for the most part, that's about it. Nobody's really had a ton of tummy issues besides Ben, like, having an accident every now and again because his tummy hurts and he can't make it to the toilet in time. And so, yeah, that's really it. It's kind of crazy. It's crazy because I feel like now vomit changes. And I'm just going to throw that sentence out in the air and let it hang for a minute. Vomit changes because breastfeeding kiddos, normal, like, babies, they throw up all the time. And you just become so numb to it. Spit up is you're just the amount of times that my shirt just had spit up on it when the kids were little, you don't even notice it. You don't even notice it. There's like a, you know, a white stain on your shoulder. You're like, yeah, all right, whatever. It'll come out in the wash.
Right.
And then it changes.
Yeah.
And we haven't had anything since the kids have stopped spitting up, I would say.
Yeah. So we've had this once before, but not this bad. 2 weeks after Grayson was born, we all got a bug. And we all threw up at different times. Like, we all had this illness, like, for, like, 3 weeks. Every one of us had something different. But it wasn't as bad as this. But that was, like, the first time Cora really threw up. And she threw up maybe twice. This night, it was a Saturday night. Cora came into our bedroom like she normally does, and I was still asleep, like asleep, awake, and she came over to my side of the bed, and then Kayla just goes, oh my God, she's throwing up, and I was like, what? And she had ran into the bathroom and threw up, like, all over the bathroom floor.
Better than your bed?
Yeah, and just started crying, and we were like, oh no, like, okay, let's clean you up and, you know, get you in a tubby. So we cleaned her up, we bathed her, and then she was like, I want to lay in your bed. We were like, okay. So we laid her in our bed, and every hour she just would roll over and then just throw up.
Oh.
And so we would lay a towel underneath her to be safe, and she would just puke right into the towel. And because she's also asleep, she's like putting her face in it, like
laying, like a small drunk,
after.
Just like all toddlers, a small drunk human.
Yeah, exactly. So she's like rolling over, like I'm dead asleep, but then my body hears her just like, and I'm like, okay, all right. It's okay, like, get it out, get it out. So Kayla, like, maybe was with us for a little bit, but then she's like, I'm going to go lay in Cora's room. I was like, okay, cool. I'll lay here, and, so I laid with Cora in my bed, and it was every hour she would just roll over, make this noise, and then just throw up, and then just start crying. Mm-hmm. And then, like, she'd throw up into a towel, we, you know, wipe her down, and then she would just start crying, and she would just every time just said, I'm done. And like, and I was like, I'm so sorry, I know. Get it out. And she would say, I'm done, and I would hold the towel there, and she'd say, I'm done, and then I was like, you're not, get it out. And then a minute later she'd be like, who? And then, okay, you know, you're not done yet, so wipe her up. So that night, you know, I would lay in bed with her, get her poor throw up in a towel, and then Kayla would hear us and come up and, like, grab whatever was dirtied and take it away and bring new pillowcases, sheets, blankets, towels. And then, you know, we had laundry running basically around the clock for 12, 14 hours. So this was all night. It happened, and then it was like, I don't know, maybe 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. She threw up, and then she slept for a couple hours. And we were like, okay. And then she got up and then just threw up again.
Oh.
We're like, okay, do you want to take a tubby? And it was like 7 in the morning. Mm-hmm. She said, yeah, I'll take another tubby. So we put her in the tub again. But she really just wanted to drink. Like, she was so thirsty.
Yeah, because getting everything.
And she wanted milk. She kept saying, "Can I have a milk sippy?" And we were like, "No, you can't. Like, you really can't. It's going to suck if you have a milk sippy."
Yeah, that's going to hurt.
Yeah. So, you know, the morning happened. She just laid on the couch, like, just so sad. Just, like, laid, didn't really move. And then every hour would just roll over and just, like, lay on the couch and just whoop. And you would hear it coming, and we'd run with a towel and try to catch it. And then she took a nap, like, at, I don't know, like 10 o'clock or something.
Mm-hmm.
And woke up and asked the same thing, like, "Can I have a sippy?" And we were like, "No, but, like, here's a little bit of water. Like,
mm-hmm.
have some water. You're probably going to throw it up."
Yeah.
And she did, like,
every
within
time,
a half
I'm
an
sure.
hour, 45 minutes. And finally, we told her, like, "Hey, if you can go, like, 3 hours without throwing up, we can give you some milk."
Yeah.
"We'll just deal with the consequences if it happens." She got to, like, 2 hours and 55 minutes.
No.
And just rolled over and puked. And then she goes, "Do I have to start at one again?"
Oh.
And we were like, "Yeah." And it was finally, like, I don't know, 2 o'clock, she rolled over and threw up one last time. Kayla had left to get a couple, like, a couple things from Dollar General and brought back a juice.
Mm-hmm.
And Kayla told her, like, only a couple sips, like,
yeah,
just a couple sips. And Kayla went to the bathroom and she came back and it was all gone. Cora had drank the entire juice bottle. And then, yeah, within a half an hour, just threw up everywhere. So finally, like, 2 o'clock, she threw up one last time, and this was, like, that last one, she just threw up everything, all mm-hmm. liquid, and she refused to throw up in a bucket. She would only throw up in a towel. But finally, 2 o'clock,
stubborn
she threw
toddlers.
Up, got everything out, yep, and then she passed out, and she fell asleep for, like, 3.5 hours, and then never threw up again. But it was a solid 12, 13 hours of just throwing up every hour. Oh. But the first one was bad because it had food in there.
Oh,
the first
yeah.
couple.
Oh, yeah.
To clear, vomit situations.
Cleared out. Yeah.
And then after that, it was, you know, whatever stomach acid, bile, and, like, and then eventually water, and then just dry heaving, right? But those 12 to 13 hours were, like, so tense and upsetting from my eyes because, like, you know, 5 of it I was still asleep, like, in the bed with her, hoping she doesn't turn over and throw up on me. But then I hear her, like, "Hoo," and then
yep.
she just starts crying because she doesn't know what's going on. Well, she's done throwing
feels
up.
Feels awful. I mean, if
yeah.
you, I don't know if there's people listening that have never puked before, count every lucky star. I don't even know if that's possible. Puking feels terrible. Like,
yeah.
even once it's out and you think you're done, your nose burns, your throat burns, like, it just feels, it's literal stomach acid coming out of your mouth. Like,
yeah.
it feels awful. And so a kid that
yeah.
doesn't know what's going on and then just has that feeling over and over and over again. And on top of that, like, you go to the dry heaving and it's like you can't, you like have to and you can't and you don't understand why, and it's like just the worst.
Yeah, it's so bad. So I it was just tense, you know, like constantly having your ear out listening to see if you could hear her start to, like, "Hoo, hoo," so that we could run over and help her. But when she was in the bed and was throwing up, like I said, she was asleep, so I had to, like, lift her up, but keep her, like, horizontal.
Yeah.
So that way she would, you know, throw up, and then she's just crying, and I'm, like, rubbing her back and making sure her hair's not in it, and, yeah, you just have to, like, I just held her, and I was like, "I'm so sorry, baby, like, you just have to get it out." you know, this sucks. It sucks so bad.
There's nothing you can do. I think maybe that's the worst part about puking. And like, having,
yeah,
even as an adult, right? I, granted, am at the age now where when I think of puking, I think of being hungover or being, you know, too intoxicated.
Right.
But that idea of like, you don't know when it's going to end and there's nothing you can do about it. There's no medicine to take. There's no like, oh, if I eat something, I'll feel better. Like, it's literally, you're just going to puke until you don't puke anymore. And it's, I mean, that is the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sucks. It sucked a lot. And I just kept telling her, I was like, I'm so sorry that this sucks. I hope that, like, I just kept saying, like, you know, I hope next time, like, this is it. I just kept telling her, like, this sucks. I'm so sorry it sucks. And we just got to fight through it. And then she would say, like I said, every time she was like, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm done. And then, you know, would roll over, go back to sleep. And then finally, at like one of the last times she puked, she like rolled over and I was like, are you okay? And she said, yeah. And then she goes, Dad, I puked 100 times. And I said, you did.
You sure did, kid. You sure did.
Yeah, and I said, Cora, some people poop themselves when they get sick. Mm-hmm. I said, you didn't do that. But it had to have been some sort of flu bug. But the other three of us never had anything. Totally fine, you know. So she stopped throwing up Sunday afternoon. And the whole day she didn't eat or drink anything. Well, she drank like milk eventually and some water. And she took some nibbles of crackers, but then Monday, we kept her home from school, and she didn't eat till like mid-afternoon. She was just too afraid to eat. Yeah. But eventually she got past it, but it sucked, and that first time really sucked because it was all food, and then you gotta clean up chunks and stuff, and it's disgusting. Like, it's not disgusting.
This is not the same as your kid going through this. So I don't want to make it like a comparison in that manner, but I've talked at length on here about Katie being in her first trimester the absolute sickest all the time. Much so that like it became a routine. Like, we would just wake up and she would throw up, and then a couple hours would go by and then she'd throw up again. And like, it was like that for a very long time. And it is not something you become desensitized to.
No.
Like, spit up. No. Baby smells. Like, kids just being covered in mud and then grabbing your clothes. Like, all those normal things you just become desensitized to. They're just whatever, you know? Like, but puke is just not... It's just not something you become desensitized to. It smells awful. It feels awful. It is awful every time, nonstop, forever. It's just awful. To yuck anybody's bad. Yums.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's bad. And usually, like, the few times that Cora has puked, you know, Kayla has kind of like really been like very like, oh, I can't do this. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm going to puke if I deal with this. When this happened, she was like, on it. Like, I was like proud that Kayla was like, yep, I'm good, like, I can do this now. You know, I told her, I was like, you handled the puke very well, like like you know, because it is, you know, it's tough. And people that as soon as they see it or smell it, they're done and they lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So through all this, it sucked. It was terrible. I don't think there's any way to prep for it, because it just happens, it seems like.
There's no advice. There's no advice to give. Maybe have a puke bucket laying around. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
That
then when you clean it becomes your popcorn bucket.
Yeah, apparently. We gotta get off the internet, Joe. There's no advice for this. There's no advice. Honestly, anytime your kid gets sick, it feels like the end of the world. Doesn't matter if it's puking. Yeah. Doesn't matter if it's fever. Doesn't matter. It just does. It feels like it's the end of the world. And my kids have gotten sick of quite a few times, and that feeling doesn't really go away. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
Maybe once they get older and I know that they're big enough that they can handle things like this, but like when it's sick enough for them to like not go somewhere, not go to daycare, not go to school, it sucks. It feels like it's the end of the world because it you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Unless there's a doctor listening to this and you're well prepared and things like that, but for the most part, for the everyday parent, it just sucks. And I just know we're all going through it. We're all in this together. Keep your sticks on the ice. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I think the only thing that came out of this would be like, okay, we became very good at swapping out towels and like having towels on hand, and like, so if it happens again, like, okay, let's get towels ready. Let's get, you know, new pillowcases ready. So that way, if it happens in the middle of the night, the first time we say, okay, let's start right now. Let's start getting everything that we have. If she threw up in a bucket, though, man, that would have been much easier.
I'm telling
you, have to do all that laundry.
You're a brave man for putting her back in your bed. I think if Ben ever goes through something like that, I'm moving a dog bed into the bathroom, and we're just going to sleep in the bathroom. And every time he wakes up, just there's the toilet.
Yeah, we told her, like, hey, if you feel it coming, go to the bathroom, like, run to the toilet. You can throw up in there, then we just flush it, and it's okay. And, like, I don't think it crossed her mind.
No, well,
like, in that moment to run.
When she's literally fighting for her life, I don't
remember. So I think, you know, the next time, again, if it happens, we just kind of try to push that still some more. Like, hey, let's get to the bathroom. Let's see if we can make it there. Because
bathroom or
it can
bucket.
Be better. Yeah. Because towels, we went through every towel we had.
Sure. There's no way.
Yeah. So that was the big pukies. It sucked. Not fun. But we learned something?
Or not. I don't know.
I guess.
We're all in this together.
Yep. Just like Zac Efron says.
I was thinking red, green. We're on very different Canadian wavelengths.
All right, Jared. Anything else from you?
That's it. Let's let these people out of here.
Let's get out of here. Thank you all so much for listening. We really appreciate you. If you haven't already, give us a like, a comment, a subscribe, a rating, a review, all that jazz. That really helps us out. And we really appreciate you doing that. If you haven't, also go check out BigDadEnergyPod.com. That's our website where we have some merch. We have some membership tiers. Jared and I are going to be looking at a lot of stuff. Summer's coming up. So hopefully we'll be able to, you know, crank some things out this summer. But yeah, thank you all for listening. We really appreciate you. And thank you to Planet Ant for having us on their podcast network.
Can't wait for Tool Time to come back. Hey.
Tool Time.
Go follow us on social media at Big Dad Energy Podcast on Instagram. And then go follow us, subscribe, like on YouTube. Search Big Dad Energy Podcast. You can see both of our smiling faces. You can see both of us on camera. Yeah, go subscribe, watch on YouTube, get some views, share it. I don't know what you do on YouTube, but go do it. Leave a comment. Get in the comments. Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate it. Always have a good time jumping in, chatting it up, and hitting the record button. So thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Jared Szymanski.
I'm Joe Lopez.
Remember, click your tongs twice before you use them.
This has been a production of Planet Ant Podcast, powered by Pinecast.